Music from Yola Tango. That's called I Feel Like Going Home. And you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliet Frumholt, and a while back, probably about 2 years ago, I would say, we got to know the band The Pinkerton Raid and their frontman, Jesse DeCanto. They have some roots in Cedarville, Ohio. Not currently based there at the moment, but Jesse is a graduate of Cedarville and occasionally comes back to the area to make some music. And the band has been working on their second album, and then that'll be out in August. But Jesse and some of the band are going to be swinging through the area next week on June 3rd. They're going to be performing at Red Tree Gallery down towards Cincinnati, and it's going to be kind of a different show. It's not a full band show, but it's a night of song and storytelling, in part music, or rather spoken word, from Jesse's memoir. And I caught up with him on the phone yesterday, and we talked a little bit about the upcoming album, about the book, and about what he's been up to. So we're going to take a little listen to that conversation, and then we're going to hear a sneak peek of the Pinkerton Raid's new album. It's been a little while since we've talked. I was trying to figure out. It's been, I think, over a year at this point. Since last we chatted, what have you and the band been up to? I know there's been some things happening as far as releases, both musically and otherwise.
Well, we did our self-titled album in 2012. So we kind of used at least the first half or two thirds of 2013 to continue to push that, playing festivals, doing some touring. And by the time we got to October or so, we were ready to kind of back off from the live playing for a while and hunker down in the studio and try to make another record. We'd been playing a bunch of the songs for, you know, a year plus at that point. So we were really feeling like we needed to take some time and just make another record. We kind of stopped playing at the end of October, and really were solid at the studio really since then, except for the fact that in November, the 1st of November, I personally published a memoir. As it was coming out, I was trying to figure out, you know, is there a way to bring this book to people, bring this story to people that I can kind of stomach, that doesn't simply involve harassing them on Twitter and Facebook and all that. And I hadn't thought about this when I was actually writing, but there's a lot of music in the book, a lot of lyrics, a lot of songs that I reference, a lot of Beatles songs and Simon and Garfunkel and, anything really from my childhood to, you know, being an adult. I realized that I might be able to come up with some interesting content to help make people aware of the book if I were to actually play these songs both live and by making music videos. So that's what we did. We made a bunch of music videos that I then have paired with excerpts from the book and published those as blog posts in different places, different magazines that I've written for and things like that. And then we've also taken that on the road. And that's actually what we'll be doing next week in Cincinnati. So I'll be reading, and then we'll play those songs. I'll read a story for a few minutes, and then we'll play a song related to it.
In terms of the writing, you know, since we first talked, I've known you as both a journalist / you know, essayist and a songwriter. But in terms of putting this memoir together, is it hard to sort of parse out, you know, what sorts of things you're going to, you know, say put in a book or an essay as opposed to incorporate into song lyrics? Or does that delineation come very naturally? Do you kind of feel it as you're developing whatever the work is going to be?
Well, I mean, there's a lot more safety in writing songs because you're writing in poetry and metaphor, and it generally leaves a lot more room for interpretation, and so there's a safety in the sense that, like, you can write about people in your life or write about yourself for that matter without taking the same kind of risks that you take when you write memoir, especially. I guess it would be something akin to writing fiction if you're writing prose. Songwriting would be like that, in that safety. And so, yeah, I mean, you have to make a lot more ethical decisions when it comes to writing a memoir. When other people's stories intersect your own, then, you know, you have to be really careful about people's identities and revealing more of their story than they're comfortable revealing. And, you know, it requires a lot of conversations with people and trying to figure out, giving them the opportunity to kind of make choices that protect themselves, but also being the writer and being someone who's in the public eye a little more, then you've got to, like, ask those questions more strictly on yourself. Like, what could be the impact on someone else? Because I'm dealing with some difficult stuff, divorce and intense religious experiences, and, you know, they're important topics to write about and think about and talk about and grow through, but they're just fraught with the potential for the people involved to get hurt. And so, you know, that's different for sure than writing songs.
Does that make it more intimidating to then take that stuff and incorporate it into a song and storytelling show live? Because, you know, when you write a memoir and you've got it in print, there's a, you know, you're putting yourself out there, but you're also not, you know, necessarily in the room standing over someone's shoulder as they're reading what you wrote. But in a storytelling mm-hmm. setting, you're facing your audience, you know, face to face, sometimes in a very intimate setting, as, you know, you've been describing some of these gigs. Does that make it trickier, or does the music help, you know, create a sort of atmosphere where it is a little more comfortable to sort of tell those stories in a face-to-face setting?
Yeah, I think it's both. There are moments when, you know, even though I've written the story, when I speak it out loud, I think to myself, "Wow, did I just tell these strangers that?" you know, my own understanding of what I've done has grown through actually having to do it in front of people. So yeah, definitely. I mean, it's scarier, but I think the music does help. Some of the excerpts that I read are really intense and sad, and so it's nice to have music to break it up. There's probably the most difficult piece that I wrote about all my hopes for my first marriage coming out of Cedarville there down the road, and then watching that relationship fall apart. You know, it's tough for me, it's tough for the audience, and then, you know, we turn around and sing an old joyful hymn, Be Thou My Vision. And so there's a sort of catharsis from that, I think, that's helpful to everybody to be able to just proclaim some joy after a tough story. So that's good. And the other thing that I've noticed is that all of that honesty is as difficult as it is for me sometimes. It really, like, it gives other people permission to tell their own stories, and after I do a few readings, a few songs, I'll just ask the people who are gathered there, you know, what did this song mean to you when you were growing up, or you heard it over the years? Because these are really familiar songs, old folk songs or Beatles songs, and so, you know, I'll try to see if they have had any experience with those songs.
Has doing these more storytelling centered gigs, has that changed the way that you're approaching the bigger rock gigs, or, you know, how you're going to approach releasing this album when it's ready, or getting it out there, or doing things with the full band in a more rock setting? Has it, you know, had you, you know, making choices or changing things that you hadn't previously thought about because of this experience?
Well, yeah, I think part of the evolution, a part of our evolution as a band has been to try to think more and more about the audience's experience. And at times, really, even tweaking the songwriting with, like, group singing in mind. You know, if we could make some small changes to this song that would make it feel, like, more inviting for people to sing along.
What does the rest of the summer and into the fall look like for the band? What do you guys have on the calendar or on the schedule?
Yeah, well, so we're doing, after we get back from this tour, then it'll kind of be like full, you know, album release mode. We'll have a couple of gigs leading up to the release. The new album's called A Beautiful World, and it's we'll put it out in the first week of August. So we're going to stick around North Carolina over the summer and play a couple of local things here around Durham. There are a couple of festivals that we normally play out here in North Carolina in the fall. And I think that there's a good chance we'll turn around come like mid autumn and we'll start working on another record. We actually have it already written, and we contemplated doing a double album, but we decided we'd be better off to just release one this year and then do another one next year. So we're kind of ready to get right into that. We had to make some tough decisions, and some of our really most favorite songs are on the back burner for that album coming this fall and winter.
So we'll just have something else to look forward to then.
That's right. Oh, thanks. I hope so.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was my conversation with Jesse DeCanto from the Pinkerton Raid. They're going to be at Red Tree Gallery near Cincinnati on June 3rd. Details at the Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscoperadio. Here's a brand new song from that forthcoming album.
He told us a story about a boy.